Okay, this is DJ Waugh speaking to Max Graham, a DJ and producer who has had a longer than 20-year career in the electronic music industry. He's had over 40 production credits to his name, 12 compilation albums over a span of 18 years, over 30 remixes, and on. This is Max Graham. So thank you for agreeing to do this. It's a pleasure to speak to a Canadian producer that's so established internationally. Okay, so your Facebook page mentions that you're currently living in Amsterdam, but Wikipedia has you most recently living in Montreal. So where are you currently living, and what's the attraction to living there?
I moved to Amsterdam about a year and a half ago. I just needed a change from the sort of daily routine that I was in Montreal. And I love Montreal, and I love Canada, but as far as inspiration goes, sometimes you need to kind of shake it up to get a fresh perspective, you know?
How would you describe the musical elements that make up the Max Graham sound, and how would you say that's changed from when you began about 15 years ago to present time?
I think there's elements that have stayed consistent. I mean, I've always had a lot of drive to my music. It's funny, someone said the other day that even though I make, you know, quite a variation of styles of music, they can always tell I'm not using a ghost producer because it has certain elements that they recognize from song to song, which I guess is kind of my style, which I thought was funny. In this day and age, if, you know, that's almost how it is. People have to know you're not using a ghost producer rather than think that you might be. I find that there's an energy and a drive and sort of a percussive bounciness to the music that I make. And it's harder for me to recognize the elements than it is from some people from afar. But I always like to have a little bit of melody, a little bit of emotion. So even from the trancey stuff to the deeper stuff, there's always something that sort of tugs at you a little bit emotionally rather than just a straightforward, you know, dance track. But I would say that the sort of roller coaster drive is always there. You know, the track is always pushing the dance floor and trying to raise the energy with a really good sort of roll. So yeah, I think that's what I would say would be the most consistent thing.
Thank you.
are responsible for creating many genre-defining tracks over the 15-year span. Your biography reads like a who's who of electronic music over the past 20 years, names like Nick Warren, Paul Oakenfold, Dumpfire, Armin van Buuren, etc., all playing your music. So what do you think is your secret to continuing to successfully produce music of such a high standard and make music that's still relevant even though the genres and styles have changed so much over the last 10 or 15 years?
Well, I think it's two things. I mean, it's staying, letting yourself be inspired, like constantly looking for new things and taking those risks with new sounds and not getting stuck in the same sort of formula. But also writing music for yourself, and your tastes are naturally going to change. You know, there's always that argument, well, your music was better 20 years ago. And I'm like, well, if you want to have the same haircut you had 20 years ago and watch the same TV show, watch old, you know, Seinfeld reruns, and you want to wear the same clothes you wore 20 years ago, I'll make the same music. And they're like, well, no, all that stuff has to move forward. I'm like, then so does music, you know? So I've been lucky enough to work with a lot of amazing people, but I actually don't think I'm that great of a producer, but I think that the failures I've had are when I've tried to make music that will be popular, and the successes that I've had are when I've made music for myself just to DJ. You know, Evil ID was something I made thinking no one would like, and, you know, it ended up being a massive hit. And then something like Susanna Down to Nothing, we made as sort of like, okay, we're going to make a big vocal track, it's going to be Beatport Top 5, and, you know, it didn't do that well. And I think, you know, it doesn't always work, but the key for me, or the most times I've had success, is when I've made music, you know, for myself, and then it's the most natural and the most, you know, inspired and flowing and not trying to fit a square peg into a round hole kind of thing. So I would say that, you know, just following your own inspiration and letting yourself be inspired by so many other sounds out there has been the key to keeping it fresh and being able to keep it relevant.
sort of musical training did you have growing up?
I had like 2-3 years of piano, but I hated it. And, you know, I used to skip the class and sit my car broke down. I really didn't enjoy it, but had I known, I obviously would have stuck with it. But it's that age old, you know, kids fighting against their parents and not doing their chores and regretting it later. So I had just a little bit of training, but I've always had a good ear for what music works with others. I think as a DJ, that shines through, but I wish I'd taken more piano training, that's for sure.
Okay, so in terms of production, which DAW do you use and why?
I use Ableton. I've used Cubase, I've used Logic, but I really like Ableton because I just love the flow of being able to drag things in and out. And the workflow for me is the key because I'm not super, super technical. I leave the really technical stuff just to the final engineer. But as far as being able to pull sounds in and pull synths in, pull samples in, you know, just drag and drop them onto a file and then onto a channel and then drop a file in and try ideas out, I find the flow of Ableton to be really smooth.
Is there a go-to VST that you have that you just couldn't live without?
I think it's a little predictable, but probably Silent.
Okay.
Silent and then the F expansion stuff. Silent just because I find I'm not a great programmer either when it comes to synths, but I find this one quite simple to get the sound that I want and, you know, the really kind of play around with it. It's more for sort of trancey stuff. Since I've been making a little more techno-based stuff, it's been a lot of samples and a lot less synths, but Silent and probably, yeah, I would say that's probably the one, but it's quite a common one, so it's not that revealing to say that, but
yeah.
It's definitely, there's a reason it's common, you know, it really is just that good and that simple to use.
Which do you prefer more, producing or DJing?
I'm 80% DJ, 20% producer. I mean, I love being home. I love being creative in the studio. But to be honest, I do it, or I started doing it, because I wanted to promote my DJ career. And there's a lot of DJs that, and this is again why you get into the ghost producer thing, because some guys just are natural DJs and some guys are natural producers. And the industry has kind of forced us to be both. And it's forced us to, no matter how good you are as a DJ, you need to have production out there to keep your profile up. You know, unless you're someone like a Dom Digweed who's kind of past that point, for most guys, you need to keep putting music out, even though DJing and producing have nothing to do with each other, or they shouldn't. So I find myself sometimes, you know, pressuring myself in the studio, which I don't, you know, doesn't always get you the best results. But when I'm DJing, it comes totally natural to me. And, you know, when I begin the night for an 8-hour set, it's just, it's pure bliss for me. My phone's off, my headphones are plugged in, you know, my friends are around, there's people on the dance floor, and it's just, it's effortless for me, that 8 hours. Whereas in the studio, I get quite frustrated and you know, go around in circles a lot. So I'm definitely a much better DJ than producer, and I 100% enjoy DJing more than producing. We'll be right back.
to do an open to close set next Friday at Celebrities here, Friday the 29th. Is there anything particularly challenging for you to program a 7 or 8 hour set versus a 1 or 2 hour set?
Well, I think it's more challenging to program the 1 hour from the perspective of what am I going to play? You know what I mean? Like, I just have so much music. I mean, if it's a big trance festival, it's quite easy. You know, it's sort of half the set's going to be my own, some big trancey stuff. And then the other half, you know, a quarter will be from my label. You know, I have some amazing artists like Solid Stone and Border Culture on the label. And then, you know, maybe a couple of classics and stuff. So it really isn't that hard. But when I'm playing like a club set and it's only 90 minutes and I have literally 10 hours of music, it can be quite challenging. As for programming the long sets, I like it. I mean, it definitely is a few days of work, you know, especially before you go out on a tour where you're going to do 4 or 5 of them.
Can you name the top club event that you've done this year, or the top festival event or anything that you have done so far this year?
Top club event would be my 8 hour set at SRB in Brooklyn. Actually, I think it was 7 and a bit. It was just perfect. It was, you know, 400 people in a warehouse in Brooklyn, and people came early. You know, I'd say that there was 200 people there in the first hour of a 7 hour set. And it was really, really good. Just the most natural flowing. Like, I loved the way the booth was set up, the lights, everything. It was exactly the kind of event I wanted to throw, and, you know, was super happy with it. As for festivals, I'm going to pick the latest, which was the Paul Van Dyke party last weekend. I played in Germany. It was actually my first gig in Germany after 15 years, and I played techno and trance, and it worked really well, and I walked away going, like, wow. Like, I was really impressed for a festival crowd that they took some club music and were really into it, so super stoked.
What are you working on right now, and is there anything that you wanted to promote?
So busy planning Cycles Tour 2015, which begins in January, with Cycle 6 coming out in January. So I'm starting to set up the CD now. This summer has been, you know, I've had 7 Ibiza gigs, which is the most I've had in my life, so I'm still touring pretty heavy for the summer. I have two Ibiza shows next week, and then I'm obviously in Vancouver on the 29th for the open to close. So even while I'm traveling, we're going back and forth on Skype and email, making all these plans. I do have a couple new singles coming out. I have Max Fram, The Remixes Part 3, which is going to be 4 past tracks of mine, all remixed by different people. That'll be, I believe, the end of September. Obviously, Rebrand has some great stuff coming out, a beautiful new vocal Solid Stone and Jennifer Renee did called Not Enough. That's absolutely incredible. You can hear that at soundcloud.com/rebrandrecords. And Cycles Radio every week is still consumes, you know, 20% of my week getting this show done, this baby, getting it finished and out there every week. And it's always so that great relief feeling every Tuesday night when the show is over and I can rest for a couple of days before I have to start again. But obviously, maxgram.com, if you go there, that links to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, whatever you want, it's all there. And then do say hi on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay, so Max Graham can be heard on Cycles Radio each week on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Mixcloud. His most recent compilation CD, Cycles 5, can be found on iTunes. And he is playing at Celebrities this Friday the 29th for an open-to-close set, and tickets are still available on the Celebrities website.